Most of the time in America, when someone's talking, the other person's like, whatever, whatever. Especially when you're talking to teenagers. Their eyes glaze over. But the Japanese, you listen to two Japanese people talking. One will talk, and the other one. They do that all the time because they're great listeners.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Have you ever noticed that most of the problems we get ourselves into are because we are too quick to open our big mouths? We seem to forget that God gave us two ears and only one mouth for a reason. Well, today Pastor Wayne has a message taken from a passage in the book of James telling us that we need to spend more time listening and less time flapping our gums. Well, not exactly the way James put it, but you get the point. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled Arson, Words That Burn.
Well, welcome everybody to our new series called Me and My Big Mouth. There's a lot of people have come up to me and said, Wayne, I just can't wait for the series to start. I said, why? Because I can't wait to get my wife to church. Well, the fact of the matter is, we all need to hear what James has to say. You know why? Because on the average, we open our mouths, guess what? 700 times a day on the average to talk. 700 times, and some more and some less. And the ones that will open their mouths more, we'll let you decide who they are. But most of our problems begin with our mouths. When we say things we shouldn't have said, when we misspeak the facts, when we come to conclusions far too impetuously, when we gossip and we should have been quiet, all of us have that same problem. Proverbs 10:19 says it this way, where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. It's a law of the averages. Just the law of averages, when the more words you speak, the more apt you are to get in trouble. It's like the story of the guy that went out and bought this parrot from the pet store. But this parrot just squawked and squawked and squawked and talked all day long. He couldn't get it to shut up. He would say, be quiet. And the thing would just talk and talk rudely and squawk. He went back in the room and said, I said, be quiet. I've had enough of this. And the thing squawked and squawked. That night he was trying to sleep. And that parrot continued to squawk and he covered his head with his pillow. Finally, he had enough. He went to that parrot, threw his hands up in despair, and he said, that's it. I'm mad. Grabbed the parrot by the neck, threw it in his freezer and shut the door. And he heard from behind the freezer door, squawk, squawk, squawk. And all of a sudden, dead silence. He thought, oh no, I didn't want to hurt the bird. So quickly he gets it out, puts it back on its perch, and it's shivering like this, and it's apologizing. I'm so sorry. I will not say anything again until you tell me to. And he said, whoa, how come such a drastic change? The parrot said, I just want to know one thing. How many times did you tell that turkey to be quiet before you got mad? Talking too much can get you into trouble. And we all have that tendency to talk. Sometimes people just don't like silence. They just don't like silence. And if there's silence in the car or silence in the meeting, they'll just start talking to fill the dead space until they find something worthwhile to talk about. They just jaw away. There are three examples in the Bible where people talked too soon. One of them, his name is Jephthah. Now Jephthah, you'll find his story in the book of Judges. He was fighting the Ammonites, not doing very well, when he made a rash vow to God saying, God, if you'll just help me win this war, the first thing that comes out of my house when I go home, I'll offer it to you as a sacrifice. Thinking it might be his cat or a pig or something. Well, lo and behold, God gives him the victory. And when he goes home, the first one to come out of his house to greet him was his one and only daughter. He had spoken too soon. Well, she gets banished and he lives the rest of his life in remorse for having said that. me and my big mouth. Another one, his name was Herod. Herod had a wife whose name was Herodias, who had a daughter named Salome from another man. Herod is having a banquet for all of his cronies and hobnobbers, and he has Salome come in and dance. We don't know if she did hula or hip hop, but she danced so well. He was so impressed. He said, "You ask me anything you want, up to half of my kingdom, and I'll give it to you." Well, she didn't know what to ask for, so she went back to her mother. At this time, John the Baptist had been imprisoned. Imprisoned for speaking the truth, because Herodias was the wife of another man, and then these two had an affair and eloped together. And so it was in a horrible state of affairs. And so John the Baptist said, "That's not right." Well, she didn't like anybody telling her the truth. Well, when Salome went to Herodias and said, "Mom, what should I ask for?" She said, "Ask for the head of John the Baptist and put it on a plate." Well, Salome went and said, "That's what I want." And Herod was so distraught because he respected John the Baptist, thought him to be a wise man, enjoyed listening to him, and also thought him to be a holy man of God. But he carried through with that against his own conscience because he had talked too soon. Me and my big mouth. And another, Peter. Now, Peter would talk and talk and talk and make all of these vows and rash sayings. It was almost like the Lord would say, "Peter, be still," because he'd always be getting himself in trouble. In fact, we call Peter ambidextrous because he could stick either foot in his mouth. Well, James 1 in verse 19 has a cure for this, and we want to talk about that today. So if you would take out your notes, and let's read at the top of our notes together, James 1:19. Let's read it out loud. Go. "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow." Why? "For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of..." Yep. "This you know." Would you underline that? In other words, he's saying, this is basic to the Christian faith. This you need to know. This is where you start. What? That each one needs to be, here it is, quick, slow, slow. Quick, slow, slow. Quick to hear, slow to, and slow to. Why? Because the anger of man in a million years will never accomplish the will of God. If it's motivated out of anger, God won't use it. It will not accomplish what God wants to accomplish. Not in a million years. And so we're going to talk about that. Being quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. In fact, the Bible emphasizes this so strongly, and James is so emphatic on this, that he says, if you don't know how to bridle your tongue, your faith will never be fruitful. Doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 30 years. If you don't know how to bridle your tongue, you will have an immature faith. In fact, he says it this way. Let's read the next scripture and you'll see. Go. "If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is..." Yikes. In other words, we've got to learn to bridle our tongues. And if we can't, we will defeat. We will neutralize. We will be counterproductive to our faith because our mouths will be toxic. Me and my big mouth. And so we want to talk about that. How many of you, be honest, how many of you get in trouble because of your mouth? Raise your hand. Yeah, yep. All of us, every single one of us. So we're going to see how to bridle our tongue. And it gives us right here three steps in controlling our tongue. Now, it has to be in this order, quick, slow, slow. So here's the first. Now, it's basic to everything. Here it is. The first is be what? Quick to write that in. Quick to hear. The first step in bridling your tongue has nothing to do with your tongue. It has everything to do with your ears. Be quick to what?
Hear.
You see, you take a look at yourself in the mirror someday. How many ears does God give you? And how many mouths? That just should tell you that God expects us to listen twice as much as we... That's right. That's right. Very obvious. And here the Bible says it. Let's read together what Proverbs 15:28 says. Go. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Here's what James is saying. Usually we're anxious to talk, but instead be anxious to listen. Be anxious to listen. Listening is a quality that we need to develop. I was speaking at a camp in Southern California when I was a youth pastor, and wanting to get to know the counselors, which ones were there, who they were, what counselors the campers enjoyed. So I started asking around, who's your favorite counselor? And it came to be that everyone mentioned this one girl, Kathy, we love Kathy. So I thought, is she like a speaker, a singer, an athlete? Oh, no. And they couldn't put their finger on it, why she was such a loved counselor. But it was within the first 2 days, I understood what that was. We were in the cafeteria, and one of the kids would turn to her, hey, Kathy. And she would turn, stop what she's doing, turn her whole body and lean towards this student and would say his or her name, yes, Jill, or yes, Bob. And then she would lean towards him and listen. And they would tell a story of what happened that year, and she would nod and be so interested. It's almost as if that kid was the only kid in the universe. And when they were done talking, she'd give him a hug. She'd go back to eating, and another one would say, hey, Kathy, and she'd stop, turn her whole body to the next. Yes, and she'd nod and smile and laugh. She was so engaged. And when that one was done, she'd give that one a hug. And I thought, that is what makes her so special. She has a great ability to listen. And she would nod and smile and laugh. You know, that's a Japanese word for that. It's called aizuchi. You know what? Everybody say aizuchi. That's your Japanese word for the day. Now, what that means is when someone is talking, you're nodding, you're giving words of encouragement, and what you're doing is you're saying, I'm tracking with you. Most of the time in America, when someone's talking, the other person's like, whatever. You know, especially when you're talking to teenagers, their eyes glaze over. But the Japanese, you listen to them, they give aizuchi, which means, you know, I'm tracking with you. You listen to two Japanese people talking. One will talk, and the other one. They do that all the time because they're great listeners. There was a man that I was reading in the newspaper, like this time here in the recession, he lost his job. And so because he was a counselor, he put this ad in the paper and it said this, if you need someone to listen to you for X amount of dollars per hour, you can call this number and I will listen. 2 months later, he had so many phone calls, he was working full time just listening to people because people need someone who will be quick to hear. Quick to hear. Let's read Proverbs 18:13 together. Go. He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. How many people, before they hear, they're quick to give an answer already? We just run into that all the time. This wife was in the kitchen. Her husband, Harry, is in the living room watching football. And she's wiping the dishes. She says, Harry, the water heater sprung a leak again. Harry. And Harry just flipping through the channels looking for the next football game. Harry, since you didn't fix it last time, I called the same plumber we called last time. And he was happy to come over Oh, he said, touchdown. Yeah, that's my team. That's my team. Harry, are you listening? Fluffy, our dog, stepped in the water and got electrocuted. The doctor said she'll be all right, but she'll never have straight hair again. Margaret, give me a beer and make sure it's cold. You know, I don't like warm beer. Harry, the plumber that came over fixed the water heater, and he said he was glad that our water heater sprung a leak because now he has enough money to go on vacation. Margaret, did you get me my beer yet? Come on, get me my beer. Harry, the plumber's going on vacation, and he asked me to go with him. And I said, yes. Margaret, get me that beer. Are you listening? Margaret, get me that beer. Harry, I'm leaving you. Goodbye. My bags are packed. Margaret, get me my beer. You know what's wrong with this house? You know what's wrong with this house? Nobody listens around here. Nobody listens. It would be even funnier, but it's sobering because that's the state of many families. So many marriages find their breakdown, if you rewind the tape, to a time when our mouths got us in trouble to the point where nobody is listening anymore. And then we go to the counselor way over here when it's infected. But it starts with me and my big mouth. And you know that listening is one of the basic ingredients to relationships. In fact, it's so important that Dale Carnegie, in his classic book called How to Win Friends and Influence People, he says this. Listen, you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you. See, one of the reasons that we're not real good at listening is because we think the world revolves around moi. And I'm the only person that really has anything worthy to say. And everybody else is just tokens. I'll give you a little bit of listening, but really, I'm just waiting for you to shut up so I can talk. And we need to realize that we're not the center of the universe. Listening is what will make you friends. And that's why you have people that are married, but they're no longer friends. You have parents with children, but they're not friends. You have people that are Christians, but they're not really friends. You have churches that are crowded, but there's no friends. Because one of the basic ingredients to making friends is listening. And that's why the Bible says, but this you know, but let each one be, what was the first one? Quick to hear. I want to give you an assignment this week. Listen to somebody. Listen to a little child's dream. Just take time to listen. Remember, God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth. And one of the reasons he says be quick to hear is because when you're listening, you are not talking. And so listen. Use questions. Tell me about your dream. Use questions like, what did you do today? Use questions like, what do you mean about, or what are your future goals, or tell me, what do you think about, and just listen and let them talk. It's a great practice. You might even make a new friend. So, but this you know, let each be, what was the first one again? Quick to hear. Not just look at with glazed eyes, but listen. And use aizuchi. Remember that word? Everybody nod like this. Yeah, that's aizuchi. Yes,
some of you are like this.
No, aizuchi. So be quick to hear. The second is when you're quick to hear, then right on the heels of that, the second is be slow to speak. Write that in. Quick to hear, slow to speak. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words could never. But they do. Every single one of us has experienced a sharp word that has wounded us, stolen our confidence, ruined our happiness, darkened our day. At the same time, we've all received words that carried with it a package of joy, so much encouragement, and so much healing. But listen carefully, words that contain healing are harder to find, so it takes time to find them. Words that contain healing are harder to find, so it takes longer to search for them. That's why it says, be quick to hear, and what was the second one again? Slow to speak. Because words that contain healing are harder to find, and you've got to think through them until you find them. That's why the scripture says this. Let's read it together. Proverbs 12, go. There is one who speaks rashly, like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Would you underline that? The tongue of the wise brings healing. There's some who speak like the thrusts of a sword. Often when we're impetuous with our words, it doesn't bring healing. It brings woundedness. In fact, one of the things that non-Christians say about Christians is that we have snap answers, but we don't have profound ones. We have quick answers, but we don't have insightful answers, because we've learned all of these quick answers to give people, but they're not based on anything profound. But there is one who speaks like the thrusts of a sword, but the word or the wise, the heart of the wise, will bring words that bear healing. But words of healing are harder to find, so it takes a longer time to find them. So you have to pause. So be quick to hear. What was the second one? Yeah, slow to speak. Slow to speak. I was at a Bible study, a life group the other week, and some people from different churches were there. And so we began sharing. And one of the guys named Steve sitting near me shared, and he was very good. He is a great writer, and so then when he was done, we went to the next one, and the Lord just spoke quietly to my mind, and he said, tell him that's what he's supposed to do. I thought, what? So went on to the next and the next, and came back around, tell him that's what he's supposed to do. I couldn't figure out what God was saying until the end of the Bible study was done, and I called him over and I said, hey, Steve, you know, you are an excellent writer. The way that you articulated that concept was so clear and persuasive that I know, and I want to tell you, that God has given you a powerful gift in writing. Write. Write for God. The gift is obvious. But I need to say this to you. When you write, because you're so clear and so articulate, you will persuade people. So listen carefully. You must hear God well and then write. Because if you write too soon, you could be wrong, but people will believe you because you write so well and you sound so convincing. So make sure you hear the heart of God right and well, and then write, and you will influence many. By this time, he's crying. I went home. Within 2 hours, I get an email from him, and he says, you don't know how prophetic your words were, because God has been saying this to me, but I have been fighting the call. Now I know. Thank you. And I thought, wow, just a word could change and transform some person's future. But words like that of healing don't come quickly. You don't find them quickly. They take longer. And that's why the Bible says, if we're going to be a people whose religion is beneficial, we must be people who are quick to... What was the first one again? I forgot. My dementia's kicking in again. The first one was be quick to... Here, that's it. And slow to speak, because words of healing aren't easy to find. Let's read what it says here. Go. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's considered prudent. Even a fool, it says, when he keeps silent, can be misconstrued as wise. Here's my paraphrase. It's better to just be thought of as a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Slow to speak.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Arson, Words That Burn by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.